If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Same-sex marriage advocates scored dueling victories today as the Supreme Court ruled against a pair of laws they said discriminated against gay couples. One of the laws, the Defense of Marriage Act, had stood for 17 years, but the Obama administration decided back in 2011 that it would no longer defend it in court. That prompted House Speaker John Boehner to ask the House Bipartisan Legal Advisory Group to defend DOMA, which denied federal benefits to same-sex couples. When asked today, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi told reporters that the GOP ended up spending $2.3 million on trying to protect the law.
$2.3 million of taxpayer money was wasted on this pursuit, and it's really unfortunate.
In other news, new home sales are booming. The National Association of Home Builders reported today that new home sales increased for the third consecutive month in May. That's a 30% increase from last year. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Well, that surprised you, didn't it? It was, in fact, the Beatles, something other than the Electric Light Orchestra or A Day in the Life or all the normal sort of, mid to late early 70s, whatever. Duke Brooks here. Welcome aboard this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. The number here is 718-305-7176. Thanks a lot for being along this evening. I guess I'm not really sure what kind of a day it is. I mean, the gays won a couple of victories today in the Supreme Court. Forces that oppose the quota system for voting in southern states won yesterday. I'm not really sure what's up with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court a couple of days ago handed down a ruling that there can be no assembly or protests, even peaceful ones, on the grounds of the Supreme Court from now on. This government's a real serious problem. I've been reading history my whole life. It is a very, very fascinating subject, obviously. Because if you know the past, you will see the future. Everything repeats itself. Technology gets better. All sorts of different things take place. The population gets larger. But one thing never happens, and that is that human nature never changes. And the entire history of the human race in civilization, and civilization, I think, some people have said, anthropologists and people like that have indicated that they think civilization is between 50 and 100,000 years old and that human beings began deliberately burying their dead about 100,000 years ago. And about 50,000 years ago, there were actual the equivalent of laws, there were rulers, there were purposeful organizations within societies and things of that nature. So they figure that civilization started at about that point. And that may be true, but if we look all through the history of civilization, we see a constant struggle between liberty and government. And, frankly, listen, I don't mind saying this. I am lately beginning to view government as being the bad guy. Government is there to take your rights away from you. They will take your property away from you. They will take your freedom away from you. Government does all kinds of very, very bizarre things. I came across something on Drudge. I wanted to read this to you. This is now, I don't know about the source of this. This is something called RT question more. I don't know anything about it. I think it might be either Russian or British or something. There is a photo associated with this. The story was published around midnight. California man faces 13 years in jail for scribbling anti-bank messages in chalk. There is a picture here of a Bank of America sign that is from Mark Ralston at Agence France Press. The story says Jeff Olson, the 40-year-old man who is being prosecuted for scrawling anti-mega bank messages on sidewalks in water-soluble chalk last year, now faces a 13-year jail sentence. A judge has barred his attorney from mentioning freedom of speech during trial. According to the San Diego Reader, which reported on Tuesday that a judge had opted to prevent Olson's attorney from, quote, mentioning the First Amendment, free speech, free expression, public forum, expressive conduct, or political speech during the trial, unquote, Olson must now stand trial on 13 counts of vandalism. In addition to possibly spending years in jail, Olson will also be held liable for fines of up to $13,000. The Reader reports that Olson's hearing had gone as poorly as his attorney might have expected. I don't mean, you know, what he could hear. There was a court hearing with Judge Howard Shore, who was presiding over the case, granting Deputy City Attorney Paige Hazard's motion to prohibit Attorney Tom Tosdell from mentioning the U.S. fundamental First Amendment rights. Quote, the state's vandalism statute does not mention First Amendment rights, unquote, ruled Judge Shore on Tuesday. Upon exiting the courtroom, Olson seemed to be in disbelief. Oh my gosh, he said, I can't believe this is happening. Tosdale, who exited the courtroom shortly after his client, seemed equally bewildered. I have never heard that before, that a court can prohibit an argument of First Amendment rights, said Tosdale. Olson, who worked as a former staffer for a U.S. senator from Washington State, was said to involve himself in political activism in tandem with the growth of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Blah, blah, blah. All right, now. 718-305-7176 is the number. I would like to talk to you about this a little bit. This is very interesting, and this is where I think conservatives like me and liberals like, Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, the Kim family, the monarchs of – this is where we part company. First off, if the guy worked for a U.S. senator from Washington, if the guy is 40, he couldn't possibly have worked for Scoop Jackson. Scoop Jackson was the last reasonable U.S. senator from Washington. As far as I know, the rest of them have all been, since him, have all been very serious left-wingers. So he couldn't possibly have worked for Senator Henry Scoop Jackson. Which means that he worked for somebody that was pretty far left, which means right away, I don't like the guy. He is said to, in the article that I just read to you, apparently he is his political activism grew in tandem with the Occupy Wall Street movement. All right, well, you know, my outlook on Occupy Wall Street movement is that Occupy Wall Street can – you know, go do you know what to itself, okay? However, and this is a big one, I don't agree with what the guy is saying. I do not see any harm whatsoever in using water-soluble chalk on a public sidewalk. That's not defacing. That isn't vandalism. Vandalism causes damage. Defacing renders something more or less permanently changed in its appearance. Neither one of these things have happened here. But the idea that the judge would prevent this defendant, who is facing 13 years in prison, I know the story says in jail. Jail is not a term of more than 18 months or something. But in any event, he is looking at 13 years in prison, and the idea that any court in this country at any level, traffic court, parking ticket court, district, circuit, state, appeals, superior, supreme, whatever, could possibly have the temerity and the arrogance to tell a defendant or even a plaintiff that they may not mention part of the U.S. Constitution in their arguments. To me, I hope that Judge Shore is not only taken off the bench, but is disbarred. That is utterly and completely outrageous. It is ridiculous. It is an affront to American liberty. It is an affront to everything that this country stands for, even though the guy on trial is sympathetic to the Occupy movement. And I think the Occupy movement are about the biggest bunch of idiots that have come down the pike since the beatniks and the hippies. They still have the right to mention the First Amendment. Unbelievable. You know, there are just some things. Is this not proof that government in this country has gone way overboard? Listen, I think bad things are coming. I think very bad things are coming. There's no question about that. Now, there are some good things coming, and they're going to be coming at you on Sunday. It is my buddies, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher, the hosts of Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly a strong enough word to describe our two main men here at conservativenationradio.org and their really awesome show. Hey, we wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing. I mean, seriously, look, I know more about it than most people do. Trust me, that is the case. So make sure that you don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. I, you know, occasionally I check into the chat room, but I'm not doing that tonight. Something went wrong. I think there are... Well, I know what happened. First off, okay, all right, here's basically the deal. If you're a host, you really shouldn't be spending your time in the chat room, on Facebook. You're really supposed to be concentrating on your internet radio show, saying things, talking to callers, doing all that kind of stuff. I think that that's reasonable. But there are many of us at conservativenationradio.org who log into the chat room, and if I am logged in as the host and then someone else using the same account logs in after me and then somebody else logs in after them, then I get literally bounced out of my own chat room. So, if you want to log in, you most certainly are welcome to log in to the chat room. I only look at it during breaks. One is coming up in a moment, so I'm going to try to get re-logged in there. But what I do when I listen to somebody else's show on this network, which I do all the time, virtually every day because I'm the program director, is I have my own account that I set up that is completely separate from conservativenationradio.org. And I use that to log in and listen to the show on CNR. That way it does not take me or anybody else off the air. Just a tip, just a hint, word to the wise, you know, just that sort of thing. No big deal. Anyway, it is about 15 and a half minutes after the hour. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. More of your calls, more news, more analysis and commentary thereupon coming up on Radio Free America. Stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back. This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Thanks for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. Coming up on about 18 minutes now after the hour, and somehow I was able to get back into the chat room. I check in to the chat room during the breaks. You know, during the rest of the time, I am trying to keep an eye on some news. Now, this is something. We do have some folks I know for a fact that are in the land of 10,000 lakes in Minneapolis, one of the nation's legacy broadcast stations in Minneapolis, WCCO reports, baby cleaning wipes are becoming increasingly popular and some are even labeled flushable, but for a number of small communities in Minnesota, so many wipes are getting flushed that they are clogging up local sewer systems. In the tiny town of Avon, utility superintendent John Forsell checks the sewer pumps every day. The reading on this day is good many times. All right, I don't know where Avon, Minnesota is, but if you live in Avon, Minnesota, you've got to stop doing that, okay? I mean, you've got to stop flushing those baby wipes down the loo, as they would say in England, down the john, as we would say here in the United States. You know, there are just, I guess it's no good. You know, I have come across quite a few people. I worked in commercial real estate for about 6 or 8 years, 8 years, something like that. And I very often would rent properties out to people that would have crews of, you know, obviously illegal aliens that were doing work, and they would very often get paid under the table in cash. But what I noticed is that they, well, you know what, let's not go there. It's really just kind of a story that, well, you know, we're not going to do it on CNR. This is a family show. All right, this is a family show. I don't know if you have been keeping up with the Paula Deen controversy. I am kind of remotely paying attention to it a little bit. I am not sure exactly what prompted Paula Deen to have made an admission that at one point she used the N-word. I don't know why she was I think in a deposition someone was suing her for some kind of discriminatory employment practice or something. You know, Paula Deen is a very, very interesting person. I don't really know very much about her. I've seen her on TV once or twice for a minute or two. I watched her show for a minute maybe and thought, all right, well, you know, she obviously knows how to make Southern cooking. No question about it. Listen, we have in this country, we have our own unique cuisine and we have our own unique regional specialties. Don't think for a minute that people often say, oh, all of our food came here from somewhere else. No, that's not true. I guess one could say that about every single nation on this planet except Kenya or something. I don't know. But I digress. In any event, Paula Deen, apparently at one point like 30 years ago in the 1980s or something, she was working as a bank teller. This is before she became this maven of Southern cooking. And if you've ever been to the South, it will take you between 30 and 60 seconds to get used to Southern cooking. All right, trust me on that one. It is really good. Very filling. It's entirely comfort food. No question about that, but it's very, very good. Anyway, she was working as a bank teller, and apparently some black guy came in with a gun and stuck the gun in her face and robbed her at a bank. Apparently later she used the N-word in her own home to her own family to describe the armed robber that came into the bank and stuck a gun in her face. Well, gee whiz. I suppose that is something that an awful lot of people under those circumstances might have said. There might be a few, you know, super ultra racialist liberals out there who would have gone out of their way not to. They're allowed not to, I suppose. I don't know. I think under the circumstances, since it is not illegal to use the N-word, that Paula Deen might be, if not forgiven, she might be understood under those circumstances. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it's not against the law. And we do have a First Amendment in this country, despite what Judge Howard Shore in San Diego may think in the case of sidewalk graffiti that I mentioned a short while ago. But Paula Deen apparently gave a deposition. She admitted that, you know, under the circumstances of having just been robbed, she went home and used that word in the privacy of her own home. That came out, and the TV networks, QVC, the Food Network, they began dropping her. And I've got to be honest with you. It's offensive, but since when have we lost our freedom of speech? I mean, I mentioned the term racialist liberal a short while ago. Racialist is a word that there are some people that know that word, not very many do. The left-wingers in this country, the race-baiters, they would not like anyone to know it. I think it was Thomas Sowell who first used that word. Very interesting. He said a racialist is a person who looks at every single human interaction in terms of the race of the people involved. And as we all know, there are two groups of people that look at every human interaction in racial terms, and those two groups are liberals and skinheads. And frankly, I don't mind lumping them both into the same basket because they are both so silly and so idiotic. Frankly, they both belong there. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. On conservativenationradio.org, Duke Brooks here. Very glad that you could be along. We're about 25 minutes into hour number one of this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. I've been talking about Paula Deen a little bit. You know, Paula Deen now, after she, I think the first thing that she did is she published a cookbook. I read somewhere like years ago that she had self-published this cookbook at about the time in the, I guess, mid to late 1990s that the internet was first beginning to really penetrate into society, and she got a couple of her recipes up, and somehow she got a cooking show. It might have been a local show. I think she's from South Carolina. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know all the facts. If you know all of the facts, please give me a call and fill me in. Listen, if I don't know something, I will admit that I don't know it. 718-305-7176. The one thing that I do know is that Americans of whatever political stripe should begin ignoring race as a factor in anything. What on earth happened to taking individuals one at a time? Please, let's leave race out of our national conversation if we possibly can. I guess I just don't believe in subdividing the American people along those lines. I can tell you definitely, I absolutely don't. But in any event, Paula Deen has now been kicked off the air on QVC, where she had her own line of cookware and cookbooks and that sort of thing. Gordon Ramsay does as well. I think Chef Robert Irvine does as well. Listen, I like Gordon and I like Chef Irvine. Those guys know how to cook. There's no question Paula Deen knows how to cook. There's no question about it, obviously. She's world-class, self-taught expert. Unlike Julia Child, maybe I'll tell you the Julia Child story one time. I would watch her from time to time when I was a kid. I used to watch James Beard when I was a kid. I would watch Graham Kerr. Those were the three cooking shows that were on back then. Now, everybody's got one. I think my girlfriend Linda and I are the only people in the United States that don't have a cooking show. You know, I mean, it's, but in any, well, I guess now Paula Deen is one that doesn't. But I've got to be honest with you. It's, what did QVC and what does the Food Network, what do they think will happen if they continue to allow Paula Deen to remain on the air? I don't get it. I don't understand what they thought would happen. Were they afraid that people were going to come up and vandalize their building? Were they afraid that people were going to boycott their networks and not watch them anymore? I mean, you know, as if for some reason bad programming in and of itself will not drive down viewership. I think it was Louis B. Mayer of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer who on one occasion said, if people don't want to see the picture, nobody can stop them. You know, I mean, I don't know what the Food Network's ratings are. I don't know. I did read at one point, back in the 90s, when Barry Diller, maybe Barry Diller is still the chief executive of QVC, I don't know, that QVC was the second highest revenue-earning television operation in the world. This was in Time or Newsweek or one of those things back when people like me still actually read magazines, which I, you know, I guess I really don't anymore. I don't know if it still is, but, you know, with Paula gone, it's not going to, that isn't going to do them any good, I don't think. I think she'll be back. Now, let us assume for a moment that since you're listening right now to conservativenationradio.org, you are a conservative. That means that you love America, you love our Constitution, just like we do here at conservativenationradio.org. Now, since that's the case, I know that you are in need of a supply depot to get everything that you need, from books and bumper stickers, patriotic t-shirts to flags. And we've got your pipeline to that good stuff. It's right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner at any time, 24/7. That's going to take you to the world's most well-known warehouse for all of your conservative revolution needs. Wave your American flag or your Gadsden flag or your Texas flag or your come and take it flag. You can wave your Bonnie Blue flag for all I care. Proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join our conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. More coming up on Radio Free America. Stay right where you are.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Good evening to you, or good afternoon, or morning if you're listening on podcast, which we absolutely appreciate. And let's see, I've got some audio coming here, which I want to stop. And well, you know, I went to a site because I wanted to talk a little bit about this Aaron Hernandez, which perhaps you've heard about. He is a football player with the New England Patriots, which used to be the Boston Patriots. But in any event, Thanks a lot for being along. The number here is 718-305-7176. And this is from Breitbart. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. It is, via Breitbart from the Associated Press. The New England Patriots didn't wait for Aaron Hernandez's legal troubles to play themselves out. 2 hours after police arrested Hernandez, but before he was charged with murder in court this afternoon, the Patriots cut the tight end who has signed a five-year deal with New England just last summer. Quote, words cannot express the disappointment we feel knowing that one of our players was arrested as a result of this investigation. We realize that law enforcement investigations into this matter are ongoing, the team said in a statement. Quoting again, we support their efforts and respect the process. At this time, we believe this transaction is simply the right thing to do, unquote. Hernandez was taken from his home in handcuffs early Wednesday, more than a week after a Boston semi-pro football player was found dead in an industrial park a mile from Hernandez's house. He was arraigned later in the day and charged with murder. Odin Lloyd, a 27-year-old member of the Boston Bandits, was found slain on June 17th. Officials ruled the death a homicide but did not say how Lloyd died. That's been 9 days ago now. The NFL released a statement expressing sympathy to Lloyd's family. The 23-year-old Hernandez was an All-American at Florida and part of a tight end duo in New England that was among the league's most productive. But heading into the 2010 NFL draft, at least one team said it took him off its draft board, refusing to select him under any circumstances, and all of the other teams in the league bypassed him repeatedly as he fell to New England in the fourth round. Afterward, Hernandez said he had failed a single drug test in college, reportedly from marijuana, and was upfront with teams about it. A South Florida man filed a lawsuit last week claiming Hernandez shot him in the face after they argued at a strip club. The man, who lost his right eye, told police after the February incident that he did not know who shot him. The Boston Globe reported that Hernandez lost his temper and threatened teammate Wes Welker during an argument in the team's weight room shortly after being drafted. Hernandez became a father to a daughter on November 6th, and he said it made him think. I'm engaged now and I have a baby, so it's just going to make me think of life a lot differently and doing things the right way. You know, I've got to be honest with you. Listen, I'm not by any means a football fan or expert. I mean, sure, when the season comes, especially, you know, a cold, brisk Sunday afternoon, it's a lot of fun to watch a game. I've been to a couple of Eagles games when I was younger in Philadelphia. I grew up outside Philadelphia, and it is great. You know, sure, it is an American tradition. It's over 100 years old now, more than just about half the life of our country, we have had football. But I'm not an expert. I'm not even sure what a tight end does. I think he's a receiver. I don't know. I just don't know very much about the game. I'm not an aficionado. I'm not really a sports guy. The only sports that I know anything about are ones that nobody else really cares about. But in any event, can you imagine the headline, Tom Brookshire arrested for murder, Joe Namath booked on murder charges, Garo Yeprimian picked up for drunken disorderly and fighting after an incident at a topless bar. I mean, Y.A. Tittle? I mean, forget about it. Back in the, you know, those are obviously names from the 1960s. Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, Fran Tarkenton, Joe Theismann. The famed Pittsburgh defense that was known as the Steel Curtain. Mean Joe Green, L.C. Greenwood. there is no, Frank, I'll be honest with you, I've forgotten the names of the other two guys. I was kind of a Steelers fan, a little tiny bit, back in the late 70s, I guess. But those guys back then, there are no circumstances under, they might have, we've got people in the NFL, kids look up to these guys. You know, it takes a lot to get into the NFL. You have got to be a super world-class athlete. I don't really know very much about it. Even I know that. I mean, come on now. And they are doing this kind of thing? And I think that the Boston Patriots made the right move. I think that the NFL really needs to enact a policy that if you get arrested for a serious, something, we're not talking about somebody's first DWI or something, although, well, maybe that ought to be included as well. But, you know, a guy like Michael Vick, guy was in prison for 2.5 years, whatever it was, for dogfighting, cruelty to animals. You know, yeah, the pit bulls they're pretty powerful, but at the end of the day, you know, like all animals that live in the world of humans, ultimately they're helpless. They against a human being with a weapon, they can't do anything. They can't. Yeah, I mean, they're helpless animals. The guy got put in prison. He came out, and people started saying, oh, he's paid his debt to society. Now he's rehabilitated. I don't think so. I think that the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the National Hockey League, the major sports, we remember that guy in Carolina several years ago, Ray Carruth was his name. He shot and killed somebody. He was with the Carolina Panthers, or I'm not even sure, in Charlotte. And he shot and killed somebody, was convicted, and now he's in prison for the next, 21 years or whatever it is. The NFL needs to really discourage this kind of thing, and they need to say, look, if you get arrested for, a crime of this nature, you are simply, you are no longer in the NFL. That's, it really has to be that hard and that fast. It really does. The downside of that, I could imagine this. I could imagine some really small thinking, dishonest cops somewhere. There are some that are like that. It's not the majority of them, but there are some that are, who might happen to spot a NFL player on his way into town for a game, and he might decide to arrest him just to hurt the visiting team or something like that. There, of course, there's a way around that as well. The team goes to the stadium in a secure bus. They don't drive themselves. They don't get, that sort of thing. But I digress. I mean, there are people that know more about sports than I do. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I think everybody knows more about sports than I do. I do know a couple of things about conservativenationradio.org, and I definitely want to be one of the first to tell you how happy we are to welcome my friend Dave Vance and his new program, Inside Tennessee, to our lineup on Mondays. Now, maybe you are not from the Volunteer State. Tennessee is known as the Volunteer State. But there are issues that affect Tennesseans, and these issues are spreading out all over the United States right now. Dave Vance brings his Veterans Insight and some of the most informed guests you're ever going to hear to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. About 15 minutes before the top of the hour now, 15 minutes or so left in hour number one of this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. 718-305-7176 is the number. So this guy, Aaron Hernandez, is he's 23, and apparently I heard somewhere the other day that he had just signed a $40 million contract. I really think that what has to happen is the NFL needs to adopt a public policy that if you get involved in this kind of trouble, you are out of the NFL. Now, here's the other factor, okay? If the person is eventually exonerated, if they are acquitted, then I think that they get back, they can get back into the NFL, but I think that they should not be eligible for the pay that they missed. The average salary in the NFL right now for players, I think, is up to $1.2 million a year. I saw that somewhere. I mean, you know, it's a very difficult job. It is obviously highly competitive to be a player in the National Football League. You can get very, very seriously hurt. There is an awful lot of money involved, but by the same token, people look up to NFL players, and frankly, the NFL needs to do something to make sure that the people that are looked up to, they have to don't have to be as pure as the driven snow. Nobody is, but they do have to have some kind of a standard of behavior that will not tarnish the image of the of the National Football League. Guy was held without bail. You know, I mean, now that having been said, I'm not really sure where the Baltimore Orioles. Last I checked, they were 2.5 games out of first place in the American League East. I am a fan of the Baltimore Orioles. I don't really pay very much attention to the National League. I do kind of like the St. Louis Cardinals. I've always just kind of liked them. I do kind of like the Chicago Cubs. I've always kind of liked them as well. Well, we have had a couple of kind of troubling things happen today coming out of the Supreme Court. And listen, I want to make sure that everyone understands the part of the country in which I live has a very, very high population of gay people, gay men, lesbian women. Quite a few of them are, I would say, are particular friends of mine. There's no question about it. There are some that are, I have just come to the conclusion that a couple of these as individuals are the salt of the earth. Absolutely no question about that. But I can tell you the idea of redefining marriage in favor of allowing two gay people to, you know, refer to themselves as married, frankly, I think is a very, very bad idea. This is from the Los Angeles Times section called Politics Now via Drudge. The Supreme Court struck down a key part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act on Wednesday and declared that same-sex couples who are legally married deserve equal rights to the benefits under federal law that go to all other married couples. The decision is a landmark win for the gay rights movement. It voids a section of the law known as DOMA, which was adopted with bipartisan support in Congress in 1996 to deny all benefits and recognition to same-sex couples. At that time, no state permitted gays and lesbians to marry. Now, 12 states and the District of Columbia authorize same-sex marriage. Mr. Justice Anthony Kennedy, speaking for the 5-4 majority, said DOMA was unconstitutional because it violated the right to liberty and to equal protection for gay couples. Quote, by seeking to displace this protection and treating those persons as living in marriage less respected than others, the federal statute, unquote, violates the Constitution, he said. Dissenting were Chief Justice John Roberts, Justice Mr. Antonin Scalia, Justice Mr. Samuel Alito, and Justice Mr. Clarence Thomas. Those are the conservatives. Mr. Justice Kennedy, obviously in this one, on the left side of that particular issue. It is about 11 minutes now, about 10 minutes now before the top of the hour. There is a caller. I do want you to stand by. We are going to take a very quick break, and we will be back with your calls after this, so don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Good evening once again. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, this is, Alan?
This
Hello?
Is Alan?
Am I on?
Sir, you're on the air. You're on the air, sir.
Yes, hello, this is Christian. I'm calling from Denmark, the country in Europe. I was just, just sitting and listening to your fine program. I'm glad you brought up the whole gay marriage thing. I think it was a sad day for marriage today, that gays were allowed to be married in church as well. I think civil union is more would be more correct for them, simply from the aspect of respecting the Christians' beliefs. And when you look upon it, it is a hypocrisy, because they cling to the left, in this case, clings to the Constitution, saying, oh, it's unconstitutional, as if they really think the Constitution matters, and they don't when it comes to Obamacare. Then who gives a beep about the Constitution there? So So I think it was a sad day today.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. Now, you're in Denmark.
I'm following American politics.
Fine. Are you in Copenhagen?
Just outside Copenhagen, in a small town I've never heard of.
All right. I have been to Denmark. I've been to Copenhagen. I thought it was absolutely lovely and a wonderful country, and I'm very, very glad that you're listening. Now, the words marriage, wedding, married, those words do not appear in the U.S. Constitution anywhere. However, in the U.S. Constitution, it does say that the public acts of one state are to be considered valid in any of the other states. And this is a very serious stumbling block. When Madison and his buddies wrote the U.S. Constitution, the idea that two men would be married to each other or two women would be married to each other was never on the horizon. I can guarantee you they never once even thought about it back then in the 18th century. What is the outlook on this in Denmark? I'm sorry, sir. Say again.
What were you saying?
I was going to ask you, what is the status and the outlook on same-sex marriage in Denmark?
It used to be okay here in Denmark until we elected a very liberal government 2 years ago that actually got a former immigrant from India as the guy that was in charge of that affair. He was minister of that particular thing. So now we have gay marriage too in Denmark, in church as well. We've had the statue of gay marriage in a very long time. I think it's like 25 years or more. Even we were actually the first country in the world that where the, two men were married, but that was in City Hall. It was not in the church. So it's not until half a year ago that the first males were allowed, and of course females were allowed to marry each other in a Danish church. But I think it's in about 30 years they've been allowed to be married at City Hall, which in your case would be called what you call civil union, you know, with the same legal benefits as a normal marriage. And actually, the effects it has here in Denmark is that before that all that went down, our church had a lot of members, but now the membership is totally declining. A lot of people have left the Danish church in anger over this because they actually think it's kind of disgusting, the idea of two, you know, in their church, because it's not respecting their beliefs. And I think it is important to respect, you know, good Christian beliefs, because that are the beliefs that Denmark is built on and Americans is built on.
Well, I am opposed to the idea of redefining marriage. For thousands of years, marriage has been a union between one man and one woman. Isn't the Prime Minister of Denmark this German lady? Isn't her last name Schmidt? And she's like this youngish-looking blonde girl or something?
Yeah, she's not German, actually. She is a pure Dane, 100%. But her name is Schmidt.
Okay.
A lot of Danish people's names is actually Schmidt. I don't really know why, but it is. And yes, she does look exactly like Barbie, the doll, the
okay.
Barbie doll. She actually does. And I don't think she's very much more intelligent than a Barbie doll, actually. She just barely got elected prime minister. Her government, the group of parties just got the majority just by a few votes. And ever since the election night, they have just gone down on a historical downwards, and there's no chance that they will be re-elected, no chance at all.
I want to thank you for calling. I do have to take a break, but please call in again next week. I would very much like to speak to you again. I'm on every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at this time. Thanks. I'll be most delighted to. And thank you for the good work you're doing for patriotic America. We need you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir. And thank you so much for calling. More of Radio Free America coming up. Stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. And do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here, about 3 minutes after the top of the hour, 3 minutes into hour number two of Radio Free America, and our number is 718-305-7176, and I would presume that we are now the toast of the former Viking country of Denmark. I've been to Denmark, and I was very happy to hear from that gentleman. Hope to hear from him again. Hope to hear from you, too. 718-305-7176 is the number. And we have been talking a little bit about the ruling today on same-sex marriage, striking down the Defense of Marriage Act. That is something, you know, I find that I don't think it's a very good idea for marriage to be redefined. I support the idea of and the tradition of traditional marriage. That's simply the kind of person that I am. I don't see any benefit to society this way. However, because I am a conservative Republican, at the end of the day, my outlook is to each his own. What two consenting adults do in their own home behind closed doors I think really is nobody's business but theirs. And I'm not advocating that, you know, the gay lifestyle be made illegal or anything of that nature. But I am also not advocating that the definition of marriage be changed. And there is a reason why there are certain tax benefits and certain other non-governmental benefits that flow to married people. And that is because married people are the central, basic, defining building block of society. You cannot have a society unless you have stable married homes in which children are appropriately brought up. I mean, there is simply no way around that. That is just the way things are. I'm sorry, but that's just the way things are. And when you start fooling around with that, for something that I would refer to as light and transient causes, to quote a well-known Virginian writing in a well-known declaration, there are going to be problems. And I think that the unintended consequences, consequences that are not only unintended but are also unpredictable in this particular exercise, are going to be probably very harmful in the long run, not the least of which is the idea that if you can redefine marriage as taking place between two men or two women, why could you not redefine marriage as taking place between one man and three women, or two women and five men? Why could I don't get it. Marriage is what marriage is. It is a union between one man and one woman. That is pretty much all that there is to it. I don't think, in fact, I know, marriage is not a right. Marriage, the reason it is not a right is that we can readily and easily and I think precisely define a right as a form of conduct in which a person may engage without any legal hampering of that person. I have the right to freedom of speech. I do not need the government's permission to speak. I have the right to vote. I do not need their permission to vote. I'm a U.S. citizen. I have various other rights, the right to freedom of worship, the right to peaceably assemble. We have rights in the United States. We have the oldest constitution in the world. It has absolutely stood the test of time. There is no question about that. Absolutely no question. The U.S. Constitution has stood the test of time. Marriage is not a right because it requires the willing participation of not only another person, but it also requires the permission of government. The state has to say, okay. And under those circumstances, either one of those by themselves would render marriage in a status other than the exercising of a basic civil constitutional right. But both of them together, I mean, it is not a right. It is that simple. It just is not. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along wherever you are. In Denmark, in the United States, we have people from as far away as Alaska. Wonder if anybody is listening from Hawaii. I don't know. I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii. Have you ever been to Hawaii? I would like to go. I would like to go to Hawaii. 2 weeks ago, I was very honored and I felt very privileged to have on the air with me John Parshall, naval historian, military historian, A guy lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, wrote several years ago the absolutely definitive book on the Battle of Midway. And he had been in Hawaii about 3 weeks ago to give a speech at the Pacific Air Museum, which is located on Ford Island in Pearl Harbor. That is the central island in the middle of Pearl Harbor, and Pearl Harbor is on the south shore of Oahu. It's just a little kind of tiny little bit kind of southwest of Honolulu. And John had been there. He posted on Facebook, you know, pictures of where he was staying. And, you know, I mean, I would just love to go to Hawaii. I understand it is very, 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 I think gas is like $7 a gallon there. I think that they are charging something like 23 cents per kilowatt hour of electricity. Here on the East Coast, we pay an average of 11 cents, 11, 13, somewhere in there. It's twice as expensive. Everything in Hawaii is extremely expensive because they, I mean, think about it. They have virtually no industrial base in Hawaii. They have, yeah, they have some, you know, manufacturing there, but it's, you know, everything's got to be brought in by ship or by airplane, and that adds to the cost of everything, cars, gasoline, you name it. I mean, clothing, food, just about everything is much more expensive in Hawaii than it is anywhere else in the United States. And Hawaii, I talked to my friend Will Fox last night. Hawaii, at one point, way before statehood, the virtually all land on the island chain of Hawaii was owned by about four families, the Bishop family, the Baldwin family, Dillingham, and Wong. Those four families apparently owned almost all the land in Hawaii, and you could not buy land. You had to, if you built a house, you could get either a 49-year lease or a 99-year lease. And you had to pay your, you know, it was ground rent. But then gradually, you know, they, you know, apparently they were forced to sell off the land. I really don't know if I like that idea or not. I mean, if you own land and the government can come in and they can just force you to sell it to somebody else, not for public use, as we are guaranteed in the Constitution, I'm not really sure I like that. You know, I just it just does not sit particularly well with me. It's just another example of government overreach, I think. Speaking of government overreach, in Delaware, the government does a lot of overreaching. And we've got our very own Christopher Manti, who is a political veteran in the state of Delaware. Every Friday, right here on conservativenationradio.org, he has the Christopher Manti Show at its new time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central. Check him out. He always has a very interesting, fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky, wonderful world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which we should have just named it eponymous, Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. I got an email from somebody the other day that said, would you please start talking about airplanes and helicopters? A buddy of mine on Facebook told me when I was on the air at this radio station here locally called WGMD, which, you know, I'm a former insider there. But the fact of the matter is, it is still one of the great small to medium market independent talk radio stations in this country. There's absolutely no question about it. And I, you know, I really loved being there. They had some people there that I think even the owner eventually realized that they could do without. But sadly, those people had already done a lot of damage. Anyway, fellow who is another broadcaster at another company in this market, you know, the kind of eastern central Delmarva Peninsula, right here smack dab in the middle of the Mid-Atlantic, right on the Atlantic Ocean. He sent me a Facebook message, and he said, I really want to listen to you on Wednesday night. He might be in the chat room. He might be one of the guests in the chat room. I don't know. But he said, please start talking about helicopters and airplanes again. And then he wrote, I remember sitting in the parking lot of the Food Lion one night when you were on the air and listening to you with the car idling for 20 minutes while you talked about helicopters. I don't know. Maybe I will. You know, if you want to hear about helicopters or airplanes, flying stories, I've got quite a few of those. 718-305-7176 is the number. I'm going to take a little break right now. When I come back, more commentary upon the day's news and maybe even a flying story. Stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Welcome back. And you know, when you hear the Ashokan farewell at about 15 minutes after the start of the second hour here on Radio Free America, that we are going to talk a little bit about Civil War history. 150 years ago, we were engaged in a great Civil War, testing whether this nation or any nation so conceived can long endure. That's obviously from the Gettysburg Address. I think every child in this country at any kind of school ought to be required to memorize the Gettysburg Address. You know, I just think that you ought to be required to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And you ought to be required to memorize the Gettysburg Address. You ought to be required to memorize the preamble for the U.S. Constitution. You ought to be required to memorize certain portions of the Declaration of Independence. And by the time you are in the 11th grade, you should be required to take a written test on the U.S. Constitution. I mean, for Pete's sake. It obviously, clearly nobody reads it Certainly nobody in Washington does, but I digress. June 26th was a Friday in 1863. That was 150 years ago today. This information is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. Confederate General Jubal Early and a portion of his command entered Gettysburg in their advance north of the Potomac. The next day, they marched toward York, Pennsylvania. Federal militia fled after a brief skirmish near Gettysburg, and a number of them were captured. Federal General Joe Hooker reported himself on the way to Frederick, Maryland, and said he wanted to evacuate Maryland Heights at Harper's Ferry. Washington appeared to doubt Hooker's ability to act against the Confederate invasion. Governor Andrew G. Curtin of Pennsylvania called for 60,000 men to serve 3 months to repel the invasion. There are, I mean, there's an awful lot more that happened on this particular day, but, you know, the Battle of Gettysburg really was, it took place over a 3.5-day period. It really was 9 battles. It wasn't just one big set piece. It was kind of 9 smaller battles all culminating in what has become known to history as Pickett's Charge. That took place on July 3rd of 1863. The battle started, as most people understand, I think most people know by now, and if they don't know, they should know, that at Gettysburg, the North came in from the South, and the South came in from the North. I mentioned General Joe Hooker, who was the General-in-Chief of the Army of the Potomac for approximately 4.5 months. Prior to him being the top general, let's see, I think Ambrose Burnside was. McClellan had been the General-in-Chief twice. Lincoln fired him twice. Ambrose Burnside really kind of blew it at the Battle of Fredericksburg around Christmas of the previous year, 1862. Lincoln then appointed this dude who called himself Fighting Joe Hooker, and General Hooker was really not that much of a fighter. Apparently, at the Battle of Chancellorsville, where Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson just really kicked the daylights out of the Union Army. I mean, if it were not for the supplies and the logistics and that sort of stuff, the fact of the matter is, the Confederates had a great army. They had one of the greatest armies ever. No question about it, but Lincoln finally fired General Joe Hooker and replaced him with this other dude whose name was General George Gordon Meade. And General Meade commanded the Union forces at Gettysburg. And I think if it were not for the kind of mistakes that Robert E. Lee made at Gettysburg, he made some mistakes, he made some errors. The Confederacy made some pretty serious blunders on a strategic and a tactical level at Gettysburg. Gettysburg started the Confederate Army was moving to the east. They were west of Gettysburg in a little place called Cashtown, and General Lee had almost his entire army. He had skirmishing forces out in front. They got to a location kind of northwest of Gettysburg that is known perpetually as the Railroad Cut, because Gettysburg was a hub. There were about 9 roads that came into Gettysburg, almost like the spokes of a wagon wheel. And there was a railroad line that ran basically east and west, just north of the town, and it kind of deflected south into Gettysburg, and they were cutting a path for a new railroad sort of northwest of town, a new railroad line. And that is where the Confederates ran into the Union. And the Confederates, they were actually stopped they had gotten into the town, but the Union assumed a defensive position, shaped kind of like a fish hook, basically sort of on a north-south axis through town and heading south of town. And south of town was a pair of small hills called Little Round Top and Big Round Top. Big Round Top was to the south. And that is where the famous Battle of Little Round Top took place on the second day of the battle. After the Battle of the Railroad Cut, after the battle in the town of Gettysburg, the Battle of Culp's Hill, the Battle of Cemetery Ridge, these all took place on the first day. The second day, you had that just unbelievably bloody, murderous, and just carnage at two places, one known as Devil's Den and the other one known as the Peach Orchard and another one known as the Wheat Field. I mean, there were 50,000 casualties at the Battle of Gettysburg. One battle, just one battle, 50,000 troops either killed or wounded or otherwise out of action, such as being captured. Just unbelievable. And it was the bloodiest battle. It was the largest battle that had ever been fought in the Western Hemisphere. There was a cannonade on the third morning of the battle. The cannonade was the Confederates trying to break the Union line. They had some serious logistical problems. And then General Lee sent in, I think, a total of three divisions to try to break the Union line in a mass march across a huge field that crossed a road called the Emmitsburg Pike, and it was just a disaster, an absolute disaster. 12,000 guys marching across a field about a mile, trying to cross fences, and the Yankees were just mowing them down. There was just no, you know, I mean, it was... Now, there has been rampant speculation now for about 150 years that if Stonewall Jackson had lived through the Battle of Chancellorsville, that either A, Gettysburg never would have happened in the first place, or B, the Confederates would have won Gettysburg. The Union was strictly defending. All they had to do was not lose. That's all they had to do. Kind of like George Washington during the entire American Revolution, you know, the 6 years or something that he was in command of the Continental Army, he understood at the very beginning all he had to do was just not lose the war. That's all he had to do. And eventually, you know, he won. And the last... I remember, I think the last real major set-piece battle of the Revolutionary War was the Battle of Cowpens in South Carolina. And shortly after that, the British, the English, got holed up at a place called Yorktown, Virginia. They were essentially surrounded. They had their backs to the water. They couldn't do anything about it. Their own navy could not get in to take them out or to reinforce them, because the French had their navy essentially bottled up, you know, outside of the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay, and they finally surrendered. But the only thing that General George Gordon Meade really had to do at Gettysburg is get into that defensive position, and his defensive position was basically, it was sort of like textbook perfect. And there was no way. He used a combination of the topography, the geography, all the different features, you know, essentially water hazards and, you know, giant huge hills, maybe roughly analogous to sand traps, I don't know. But he used all these things to his advantage, and there was no way that the Confederates could break through. And finally, the Confederates just, you know, the Union remained where it was. They remained in possession of the field, and the Confederates on the morning of July 4th said, all right, that's it. We're leaving. It has been pointed out, especially in the Ron Maxwell film called Gettysburg, which is actually a pretty good movie. It's better than Gods and Generals, that second one he came out with a couple of years later. That just, you know, just wasn't as good. But in Gettysburg, there is a scene when General Lee is being counseled by General Longstreet that all the Army of Northern Virginia really had to do was simply wheel right and start charging down the Emmitsburg Pike and towards Baltimore, and the Union Army would have had to chase them to Washington, D.C. They might have been able to take the national capital at that point, and every single thing that has happened in world history from that moment forward would have been completely different. 30 minutes after the hour, we do have a brief break. We've got Common Sense with Kevin Wade is coming up. I want you to stay right where you are. I do want to tell you a little bit about LifeLock, which is a great company. I mean, you hear people like Sean and Michael Savage, and you know, they're, I mean, we're happy to be talking about them, and we are proud to be associated with LifeLock. They are the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is. Now, LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365 a year. There really is no service out there that even comes close to LifeLock. So get yourself protected and do so by going to conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That is conservativenationradio.org. And then click on the LifeLock banner. More coming up. Don't go away.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Hi there. Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. You are listening to conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening for this edition of the show. And, of course, we are doing the show live in the evening, although you are more than welcome to listen as a podcast. As a matter of fact, I hope that you do. You know, there have been quite a few strange, different things going on in the world during these last few months. Anybody remember the name Trayvon Martin? That is in the news now. Trayvon Martin was a 17-year-old black guy that in February of last year was shot and killed by a white-slash-Hispanic guy called George. I mean, I can't believe everything in the country now is about race. Even I'm doing, what does it matter? You know, what does race matter? It doesn't matter. This is from Breitbart by way of Drudge. Testifying in the George Zimmerman trial, prosecution witness Rochelle Jeantel, 19, who says she was on the phone with Trayvon Martin before he was shot, explained that Martin told her that a, quote, creepy-ass cracker, unquote, was following him. According to Jeantel, Martin was worried that Zimmerman was a rapist and said to, quote, stop playing with him like that, unquote. He also told Jeantel she said that the, quote, N-word is now following him, unquote. Jeantel is mumbling her testimony, leading to delays in the courtroom. She has already allegedly perjured herself months ago by stating that she missed Martin's funeral because she was in the hospital. Apparently, she was not in the hospital. That's basically, you know, about it. You probably remember that Trayvon Martin, 17-year-old black guy that was visiting at this particular condominium with his dad in Sanford, Florida. George Zimmerman was a neighborhood watch guy. He was, you know, was absolutely a neighborhood watch guy. And he was following him. He was keeping an eye on him from his car. Zimmerman called 911. And he said something like, well, do you need me to go and confront him? And 911 said, no, don't do that. Just get back in your car. That is what Zimmerman should have done. Zimmerman apparently was not armed. Zimmerman was armed, but he approached Trayvon Martin. A fight ensued. I remember hearing pretty early on, in the early facts of this case, that Trayvon Martin apparently tried to take Zimmerman's gun from him. That is almost certainly, you know, there was a scuffle, and that is almost certainly what caused George Zimmerman to shoot Trayvon Martin, and Martin died, you know, a very short while later. But they have him on trial for, I think, second-degree murder. And there are quite a few people who have said that attorneys have said that he was overcharged. They hit him with too heavy of a charge. The jury is six women. That's it. I wasn't aware that in Florida the juries are six instead of 12. I just don't, I have no idea what's going to happen with this. I'm not really sure that I'm on anybody's side. How about you? 718-305-7176 is the number here. If you want to talk about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case or anything else here at Radio Free America, on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. And I was very happy to have an international caller earlier tonight. Guy called in from Denmark, and he absolutely had a Scandinavian accent. No question about it. I've been to Denmark. It was great. You know, I mean, the back when I was there in 75, college student over there for the summer, and it was absolutely wonderful. From what I understand, Europe does not in any way resemble now what Europe resembled, 45 years ago. It just doesn't look like that now. Some people have gone to Paris, and they have said in certain areas of Paris, it is no different from being in a place like Beirut or Baghdad any of the other Arab cities, Damascus. It is nothing but Arabs. Got to be honest with you, I just don't know why Western countries are allowing this to happen. It makes no sense to me at all. None. And now we have this ridiculous gang of eight in the Senate that can't wait to open our borders. There will be no fence. There's no doubt about it. There will be no fence. They want the borders open. The Republicans and the Democrats both. Neither one of them want those borders to be closed. I advocate sealing the borders. nobody comes in. We don't need any more people coming into this country. We don't have a underpopulation problem here. We don't have a shortage. There are people out of work. We don't have a shortage of labor. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. We need a dosage of common sense in this country. And I know a guy that's got it in spades. His name is Kevin Wade. He's going to give you some common sense right now.
Conservatives acknowledge that our American traditions, culture, laws, and language, in fact, our American way of doing things, have served the interests of our country very well since 1776. Our Constitution does not establish economic rights, only political and civil rights. Despite recent interpretations, the Constitution does not guarantee jobs, housing, food, or medicine to anybody, nor should it. Americans have always been perfectly capable of earning for themselves the things they want and need. The promise of America is opportunity, not guarantees. Some thoughts in the American way after this.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
President John F. Kennedy remains one of the most beloved Americans in our history. But despite the accomplishments of his presidency, he is best remembered for his inaugural address, in which he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." That was right in 1961, and it still is today. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
All righty, Kevin. What a great guy. And I love those commentaries. It's so incredibly well written. You know, it's beautiful. It's just, he's got a great writer, that's for sure. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America, conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. At least that's what I'm telling people today. I don't know. Actually, it always has been. Now then, my birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks. I expect all of you to be here at my house in Lewis, and you need to come bearing gifts, and I'll take cash or check. Either one's fine, no problem. Anyway, we here at conservativenationradio.org for a long time, I mean, the whole reason that my friends Michael and Bing started this is, I think at least in part, because of the overwhelmingly leftist bias of the American media. They really want conservatives like us, like you and me, to think that we're in the minority, we're just a couple of lonely voices out there in the wilderness. That is not the case. In survey after survey, study after study, even the ones that have been done by liberals like New York Times and CNN and Brookings and all these left-wing think tanks, Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1. Now, if, like us, you respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call it around here. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up. Leave the turf wars outside. We don't have those on TRADAM. And find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. Trad-Am is, in fact, a liberal-free website, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, the fewer of them, the better there are. Have you ever noticed that unless there are conservatives, there can't be liberals, because it is the conservatives who actually defend the country and defend the liberals' rights to be crazy and insane and nuts. If there were no conservatives, the liberals would be out of business. They wouldn't have any tax revenue that was earned by other people to give away to keep them in office. And they can do all the moral high horse and all the moral high ground nonsense that they want to. And they are still wrong. They have been wrong about everything since day number one, but they are still wrong today. Some things never change. Some things are perpetually questions. For instance, Shakespeare once asked, "What ho, ye merry swains?" That was a question when Shakespeare asked it, and it is still a question today. Some things never change. Going to take a quick break, more calls, and more observations, commentary, and maybe even some flying stories coming at you. Stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. That, of course, the immortal George Harrison, doing What is Life from his 1970 breakthrough album called All Things Must Pass. I used to love that, and I still do. You know, it's funny, I've noticed in my own life, if you liked a song in 1965, the chances are very good you're still going to like it today. They're kind of like people in that way, you know? I mean, the people that I was good friends with in school and in college, even if I've been out of contact with them for a long time, get back into, you know, talking to them, still get along. It's a good thing, and I would recommend that people maintain their long-term relationships with their friends. There's a reason to do that. You know, on the other hand, as they say, nostalgia just isn't what it used to be. 718-305-7176 is the number here. We've got about 11 minutes left in this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for coming in. I'm not really a huge chat room person when I'm on the air, but I do check in with it Every once in a while, we've got some great people in there. I'm very, very glad to see quite a few and some new friends, and very glad. You know, people are listening to us now. I would like to think, never mind why. As they say, I used to be indecisive. Now I'm not so sure. In any event, we should be hearing from Christopher Manti in a moment. We've got a hiatus going on Thursdays, or an absence. Our next program on conservativenationradio.org will be Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. It is the Christopher Manti Show. On Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, I'm sorry, 4 p.m. Eastern, is the New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding. Robert has a very interesting outlook on things, always entertaining. 4 p.m. on Sunday, of course, is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael Smith and Bing Fisher. I never miss that show. It's always great. Monday, I mentioned earlier, we have our new show, Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, and I can tell right away he's, day before yesterday, he finished his second show with us here at conservativenationradio.org, and he did a bang-up job, just excellent. And on Tuesdays, the world-famous Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, that is at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. I did get a message while on the air that said, tell about the time that you flew the Cardinal from Ocean City to Syracuse in the snowstorm. Okay, I guess I can do that. If you're an airplane person like me, I'm actually more of a helicopter person than an airplane guy, but on Halloween, October 31st, 1976, I had flown from Syracuse, where I was a senior in college, and I flew my buddy's airplane, which is an airplane called a Cessna 177 or Cardinal. It is a high-wing cantilever airplane, a cantilever wing. It does not have any struts between. It does not have what are known as cabane struts between the fuselage and the wing. The wing is just, you know, it's a streamlined airplane. It gets a really good cruise speed. The model that I was flying had straight gear, non-retractable gear, constant speed prop. Some people that do not know about flying will say, it's got a variable pitch prop. No, there is such a thing as a variable pitch prop that is different from a constant speed prop. But I digress. So I think I left Ocean City, Maryland that afternoon, maybe around 4 or 5 o'clock. Figured it would be a two-hour flight back up to Syracuse, and the weather was not very good, and I was in over my head after about the first half an hour. But being 21 years old, there was no way that I was going to do the smart thing. Approach control at Philadelphia and get into the airport and just kind of stay there until the weather. There's no way I was going to do that. No, that wasn't going to happen. So I just kept trying to force the issue and continued to try to fly up over the Pocono Mountains on my way up to Syracuse. And the airplane began to ice up. I was in the clouds most of the time, zero visibility. I did not have an instrument rating. At the time, I think I probably only had about, 75 or 100 hours, maybe 100, 125, something like that. Low time. I mean, now I've got 6,500. And frankly, you know, if I ran into somebody that had 150 hours at the pilot's lounge or the FBO or something, I'm not even sure I would be interested in talking to that person. But there I was, being really foolish, really silly, and I just continued to try to push it. The airplane was icing up. I was in a, it was a gradual descent. It was a slow descent. And I think I was probably somewhere around 7,500 feet trying to get up to Syracuse and, you know, get to the Hancock International Airport up there and make it somehow. And, it didn't matter that my windshield was completely iced over. Couldn't see anything in front of me because there was nothing to see. I was in the clouds. I did have my landing light on, and in the Cardinal, the landing light in that model is in the leading edge of the left wing. And I knew things were not really going my way when the landing light was not putting out any light at all. There was just like a dull glow from the leading edge of the wing. And I looked down, and there were no wheel pants on the tires, and no wheel pants. And I noticed that the fronts of the tires were completely covered with ice. The main gear struts were covered with ice. The little bit of the leading edge of the wing that I could see was covered with ice. The windshield was covered with ice. I had the defroster. I didn't have anti-ice or de-ice equipment on the airplane, and things were not going very well. And I was descending, and there was nothing that I could do to maintain altitude. The airplane was getting heavy. The wings were losing lift. That's what happens when you get into icing. Very, very, very dangerous, and I don't mind telling you, extremely foolhardy. But I called probably would have been Allentown Approach, maybe Binghamton Tower. I don't remember, but I remember calling one of those guys and asking if I could descend. And I hadn't even planned what I was going to say to the guy if he said, no, descent is not approved. There's traffic below you at 3 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, whatever. But the guy said, okay, descend at pilot's discretion. And I asked for 2,500. Descend at pilot's discretion to 2,500 is approved. So I just let the airplane kind of descend on its own. And now we're going down. It was just me. There's nobody else in the airplane. It was just me. And now we're going down. And suddenly at about somewhere around 3,000 feet, I noticed the ice was beginning to break up. I was still in the clouds, but I looked down at the tire, and there was no ice on the front of the tire. And I noticed that now there was actually a beam of light coming out from the landing light on the leading edge of the left wing of the Cessna Cardinal. I noticed that I was no longer descending. In fact, I had leveled off kind of by itself, and now the airplane was actually beginning to climb a little bit. So I cranked in some nose-down trim to prevent that. Airspeed started coming up. I mean, I had carburetor heat on the entire time, so there's no way I could have full power. But even still, things were beginning to stabilize. And by now, even though I had no instrument rating, at this point, I was about the best instrument pilot in the entire country. And there was no autopilot or anything, and I had that airplane. I had a heading, and I was coming in on the Syracuse VOR, which is an aid to navigation, and I remember thinking to myself, I've got this thing nailed. And then I asked whatever controller I was working, maybe it was, I don't think it was New York Center or anything like that. I think it was a regional, like an approach facility. And I asked them if I could contact Syracuse, and I did. And I asked them for an instrument approach into runway 28, and they gave it to me. And I had an approach plate, and I dialed in the NDB, and I went. It was scary for about an hour and a half, but it was beautiful. anyway. We will speak again this time next week right here on conservativenationradio.org. Thanks for being with me. Have a great week.